You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Heath Cummings gives you his favorite sleepers for this season one last time, next on Fantasy Football Today in 5. Welcome to FFT in 5. I'm Chris Towers here on the Thursday, September 1st episode with Heath Cummings. And it's September. We're officially 1 week away from the start of the NFL season. And that first game features one of my favorite sleeper candidates, that Bills-Rams game Thursday week one. Wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie of the Bills. He's taking over as the primary slot option for the Bills. And that's a role that we saw Cole Beasley get 82 catches in each of the past two seasons, despite missing a game in each season. McKenzie, you know, has flashed real upside. He had a 10-catch game in one of the games that Cole Beasley missed over the past couple of seasons. I think he's got a chance to fit in that Cole Beasley role while being more explosive with the ball in his hands. So I think that's a real opportunity for Isaiah McKenzie to potentially be, I mean, a top 24 wide receiver is the upside. I might rank him inside my top 40 for week one. What do you think about that, Heath?
Wow, wow, wow. So this is my favorite thing because I was informed that I actually hate the Bills and I'm the lowest expert in the world on all of them, except for Josh Allen, who is my number one quarterback. But I do think anytime I hear someone praising Gabriel Davis or Isaiah McKenzie or Dawson Knox, I say, so which Bill do you think is a bust?
Dawson Knox.
Okay. Well, I still think it's probably Gabriel Davis and Dawson Knox if Isaiah McKenzie's a top 24 wide receiver. A more explosive Cole Beasley, who I think has finished wide receiver 30 and wide receiver 51 over the past two seasons on a per game basis. Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe a range of outcomes of 25 to 40 and he's almost free. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mostly what I like about him. I don't know if like top 24 wide receivers all that realistic. I think that's like the 90th percentile, but I think he could be a viable starting option in a PPR league. So that's what I like about him. Give me one of your sleepers.
What's that?
Give me a better one.
I'm going to go with Justin Fields, I still don't think is that far removed in range of outcomes, upside, or anything from Trey Lance. But Trey Lance is now going at the 8-9 turn, and Justin Fields is being drafted in round 11 or round 12. And so I think that's a great value for Fields. Now, listen, he doesn't have Debo and Ayuk and Kittle. I understand the weapons. But I think he has every bit as much rushing upside. And we have more evidence that he's good at throwing a football than we do Trey Lance. Now, we didn't see a lot of it last year in Chicago, but the system was kind of bad. But we saw I'm just concerned for Lance at how little we've actually seen him play football. And we saw Fields be a pretty accurate passer in college. So I think they'll scheme some good things up for him. And he has an excellent chance, if he can stay healthy, of being a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, I like Justin Fields. The rushing potential. Like when you're talking about sleepers at quarterback, I think rushing potential is largely what you're looking for, because those are the guys who can, you know, Justin Fields doesn't have to be a great passer to be a viable starting fantasy option if he's rushing for 700 or 800 yards. So, you know, what we saw from Jalen Hurts last season, I think that's realistic from Justin Fields. Give me another sleeper.
I'll give you one I don't think that you like. It's okay. Nico Collins,
who is
the number two for the, and I had him a little bit higher. I've pulled back just a little bit, but as a round 11, round 12 pick, there's really, I know they just signed Tyler Johnson. There's not very much competition for that number two wide receiver role. This team was, I think, bottom five in total plays last year, so I do think they'll throw more passes. I would expect Davis Mills to be marginally better. And Collins does have some raw attributes. I don't know if he's good at playing wide receiver yet, but he's really big and really fast, and that's not a bad combination to have. And locked in as the number two wide receiver. I think he's could be a high-end flex if Brandon Cooks stays healthy, and he has top 20 upside if Cooks gets hurt.
Yeah, I wrote about him in my sleepers newsletter on Wednesday for the Fantasy Football Today newsletter, cbssports.com/newsletters, if you want to subscribe. And my thing with Nico Collins is I do think he's a sleeper, but he's the kind of guy who probably needs to hit early because he's going to be playing 90% of the snaps and he's going to be running 90% of the routes. So if he comes out in week one and has three targets for, you know, two catches and 20 yards, I might just drop Nico Collins. He's not going to have a long leash for me because he's not someone I think needs to grow into a role. He's kind of got to show something early on. So I'm going to give him a couple weeks, and I do like him as a sleeper, but you know, I'm not going to, if he comes out and doesn't perform early on, it's going to be pretty easy for me to cut him for someone with more upside. But I do agree, he is a sleeper. Give me one more.
Tyler Higbee. I do not understand. And I think Dave and Jamie have come along a little bit because he's up to tight end 12 in our consensus rankings. At one point, I had him 10th and nobody else had him in the top 20. But if you look at ADP, like nobody wants to draft Tyler Higbee. Everybody's way more excited about Cole Kmet and David Njoku and all these guys who might do something. Higbee earned 85 targets in 15 games last year. The only reason we aren't more excited about him is because for some reason his efficiency just cratered in his first year with Matthew Stafford. He averaged 8.5 yards per target with Jared Goff the last 3 years. It was 6.6 last year. His catch rate even fell. I just don't think that's probably likely to be the case again. And I do think with their current wide receiver core, it's more likely his target share goes slightly up than goes slightly down. I think he's probably a 100-target guy if he plays a full season this year. We got a good reason to expect 700 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he gets drafted as tight end 20 sometimes.
Yeah, the only problem, and this is my problem with Cole Kmet and my problem with, you know, some of the other sleeper tight ends that are, you know, it's more of a problem with Cole Kmet, who gets drafted inside of the top 110 a lot of the times, if not earlier, is that I think Tyler Higbee probably has a ceiling of like tight end 7.
Yeah.
And that's not like, that's not what I'm looking for. You know, if I'm looking for a tight end, I want someone who I could see breaking into the top 6. And so like Alberto from the Denver Broncos. His combination of pass catching ability, run after the catch ability, the skill set, I'm a little more excited about that, even if it's less of a sure thing.
And I think, look, maybe that's very much like I can hear Chris Towers of old saying Albert O could be anything. He could even be Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, I think he's a better athlete than Tyler Higbee, so I'll give him some theoretical upside beyond what we've seen from Tyler Higbee. But no, I agree, Higbee's being overlooked in fantasy drafts and could very well be a top 10 option. That's going to do it for FFT in 5. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.